Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money at Menards.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. This is me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. And this is episode 491 of the Colombia Calling podcast. Of course, this episode will try and, well, remove you somewhat of the away from the worrying events taking place around the world, not least because our President Petro has been rather outspoken about events taking place in the Middle East. No doubt these will be addressed in Emily Hart's news brief coming up after this segment. This week's interviewee is Sam, who's in Antioquia. Sam was on the show a year and a half ago when he was talking about his ayahuasca retreats there. He's grown, and it's a positive story. It's now called La Huayra Ayahuasca Retreat. It's authentic. It's grown. It's got hundreds of positive reviews. And he's going to tell us all about it in his podcast and so on, and how it has grown and what he hopes to do in the future. So nice to take our mind off a little bit off what's going on around the world right now. Of course, you will have noticed that I've been pretty active on social media. My fledgling editorial company, Fuller Vigil, has published one book for pre-order. That's Better Than Cocaine, Learning to Grow Coffee and Live in Colombia by Barry Max Wills, who, of course, was on the Colombia Calling podcast last week, a fun episode chatting with him. You can pre-order that book on Amazon as a Kindle ebook. Version will be available from the 30th of November, and there is going to be a launch party, and hopefully for my own book as well, which is called The Montpos Project, Lifting the Veil, A Tale of Love and Hotels in Colombia. In the meantime, I finished up something I've been working on for quite some time, and it's called Colombia at a Crossroads, a historical and social biography. And I would like to say that it's sort of a history, politics, geography book about Colombia with a bit more of a heartbeat. And thank you to Nicholas Forson, thank you to Peter Watson, thank you to Andre Gomez Suarez, thank you to David Restrepo, and please, Adrian Alselma of Colombia Reports, for all of their input and, of course, submitting essays or documents to be included in the text, which I feel gives them, an amazing breadth of information. Of course, there will be things that are missed out, will be things that are overlooked. It's quite hard to get all of Colombia into there, but I think I've done quite well. I think I've done a lot. This is now available for free for our Patreon supporters. So there is an EPUB copy there in Patreon. You can buy it via the Patreon page. And of course, it's on Amazon Kindle as well. I will, let's commit to this, bring out a print version in early 2024, which will be updated, of course, with these months of the Petro presidency, because so much is moving ahead so fast that I'll need to update it within just a few months' time. So thank you again, everyone who's supporting us. Thank you for everything. It really has been quite the busy year, but we're getting there. We're pushing through. And Fuller Vigil tutorial is moving ahead. So I'm going to leave you now with Emily Hart and the news. Thank you to everyone who is a Patreon supporter. You can always support us, patreon.com/Columbia Calling. And then we will go over to talk to Sam in Antioquia at La Guaira Retreat, Ayahuasca or Yahe Retreat there. So thank you again, and don't go away. The Columbia Calling podcast is sponsored by Latin News, a leading source of political and economic analysis on Latin America and the Caribbean since 1967. Their flagship publication, the Latin American Weekly Report, provides a behind-the-scenes briefing on all the week's key developments throughout the region. Sign up for a 14-day free trial at latinnews.com. We are also sponsored by BNB Columbia Tours, which is a leading tour operator providing a wonderful range of exclusive small group shared tours for those over 50, along with customizable private tours to both popular and off-the-map destinations throughout this beautiful and diverse country. If you're interested in experiencing one of their unforgettable journeys through Colombia, be it a shared tour with like-minded travelers or creating a unique private package of your own, just complete the form on the Columbia Calling website, that's www.columbiacalling.co, or the BNB Columbia Tours website, that's www.bnbcolombia.com, and they'll be in touch within 24 hours to answer all of your questions and to start the planning of your exclusive Colombian adventure. So that's bnbcolombia.com and latinnews.com. Thank you for supporting our sponsors.
October 16th, 2023. This week, following various delays, the dialogue table between the government and FARC dissident group, the Estado Mayor Central, will finally be set up. The protocols for a three-month bilateral ceasefire will also be announced this week. However, only yesterday, the army accused the EMC of killing a soldier in Cauca. Soldiers were reportedly ambushed on their way to a polling station to provide security during upcoming elections. However, the EMC claims that it was in fact the security forces that started the confrontation and that three members of their group were killed in the attack. The UN mission are currently carrying out an independent verification of the event. Seem to have stabilized, according to a new poll by Invamer. Both unfavorability and favorability dropped only 1 point since the last polls, to 60% and 32% respectively. Mayors across the country saw high levels of unfavorability, according to the same poll. Medellin's mayor has 63% disapproval, Barranquilla's has 57%, Bogota's 54%, Bucaramanga's 70%, and Cali 77%. A similar trend is seen in the perception of governors. Local clan's Cielo Geneco is the subject of an arrest warrant after a raid on her house and office in which she was not located. The family have been at the centre of numerous corruption scandals and links to paramilitaries while controlling politics in the department of César for decades. According to newspaper El Tiempo, who broke the story, an ex-paramilitary soldier has made allegations against her relating to murder and violations of human rights. Her son, Alberto Monsalvo, is currently suspended from his role as governor while he is investigated for corruption. Her brother and former patriarch of the clan, Jorge Geneco Serchar, was accused by Salvatore Mancuso himself of promoting the arrival of paramilitarism in César. He was later killed by paramilitary leader Jorge Cuarenta in 2001. Lucas, another brother, was the first elected governor in 1991, later sentenced to 24 years in prison for corruption and voter deception. His son, Senator José Alfredo Geneco, is currently being investigated for paying bribes to a prosecutor in order to favour his father in court. Though her location remains unknown, this warrant may be key to the local elections to be held on the 29th of October. It may break the family's hold on the politics of the department, which was set to continue with their candidate Elvia Milena San Juan, who had a majority of voting intentions in the department at last polling. Has died in hospital at 66 years old of eye cancer. Luis Alfredo Garavito was serving his sentence for the murder and sexual abuse of at least 189 children across more than 10 departments. He was reportedly being considered for release for good behaviour having served 24 years of his 40-year sentence. At the time of his conviction, 40 years in prison was the maximum sentence permissible in Colombia. His case was historic in terms of the national discussion of sexual abuse of children. The case caused Congress to pass harsher laws with higher penalties for rapists and sexual criminals. Conflict, diplomatic relations between Israel and Colombia have crumbled after an escalation of declarations by Petro via X, formerly Twitter, in solidarity with Palestine, rejecting Israeli violence against civilians and blockades without condemning Hamas. His comments were publicly rejected as anti-Semitic by the Israeli state and their close ally, the US. After around 100 tweets on the issue, Petro ultimately declared, "If we must suspend relations with Israel, we will. We do not support genocides." Israel then suspended its security exports to Colombia, having formerly provided more than 10% of the country's import of weapons, the second largest provider after the US. Today, after hostile exchanges between the president and Israel's ambassador to Colombia on social media, the foreign minister publicly suggested that the ambassador should make his excuses and leave the country. Thanks for listening.
And we're back. This is episode 491 of the Colombia Calling podcast. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogotá, Colombia. My very special guest this week is in the Antioquian countryside. He was on the show more than a year ago, and we've got him back on to talk about his success story since then. So welcome, Sam. Welcome back on the Colombia Calling podcast.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you for having me. Yeah, we last spoke, you said it's episode 491, it was episode 420, and it was exactly a year and a half ago, and so much has changed since then, a lot of the, as I say, you know, your podcast was the first podcast I ever was invited on, and after that, I had been invited on 8 more podcasts, and even started my own podcast. 12 episodes now, so I attribute part of this success to you, because I had such a great experience with you.
That's very kind of you, but I think it's all down to your content, Sam, and what you're doing. I mean, it's a great story. It's a great story. A guy who used to work on oil rigs in the North Sea, a Latvian who ends up in the countryside outside of Medellin, helping people, would you say, reach a way to spiritual enlightenment through ayahuasca or yahe?
Well, ayahuasca is a multi-tool at our retreat. Our motto is connect, heal, grow. So you can expect to experience all of these. So you connect to yourself, you connect to medicine, to nature, to Mother Earth, and you heal yourself, heal physically, mentally, and then you grow both professionally and spiritually. So whatever you want, that medicine will probably deliver. The best part that it did it for me personally, so I am leading by example, and if you allow me, I will talk about that as well.
I'll promote it, everything you need to promote, go for it. But let's go back the year and a half then, 60 odd episodes ago, or whenever it was, 70 episodes ago, and let's talk about when we first spoke. You had already offered several sort of retreats for people to undergo ceremonies with ayahuasca, with the appropriate taitas, the shaman, who you brought up from, I think, was it Cauca or Putumayo?
Putumayo. Putumayo, yeah.
You brought them up, and you were having people brought out from Medellin largely, and they were doing, undergoing these sacred ceremonies. A lot of people, obviously, some sort of solution to problems. So what I remember, Sam, is that I think you bought a huge piece of land. I want to say San Carlos or Ituango, somewhere around there. You were going to do a big retreat in that area. Is that what you've moved on to?
So yeah, the plan was to... So I was doing retreats from here, from Fredonia, Antioquia, and I was... when we last spoke, I was considering buying a place in San Carlos. I did end up buying a land in San Carlos, But, you know, a few synchronicities later, I ended up buying the actual retreat where which I was renting back then to do ceremonies. And it's not as huge as that piece that I was talking to you about. I think it was something like 60 quadras, something ridiculous like that, with the waterfall. This is only mere 4 hectares or 10 acres, you know, tiny comparing to that, but still pretty big. And instead of having a waterfall, as I was expecting to have back then, we do have a creek. And the place is really beautiful. So, and I think it's way more realistic. I guess I was a bit more romantic, because imagine colonizing so much land, and it's a big effort. So I'm happy where we are right now, and it's actually where we've been running the retreat from last time we spoke, and people really love that place. A lot of people, they are, you know, emotionally attached to it. So, and what also helped is I put my Google tag here, and we started collecting reviews. So as of now, I believe we have like 275 star reviews, and you know, moving that location would be probably not beneficial as well. Yeah, so I actually re-listened to our podcast just so I can remember everything we talked about, and you know, not to repeat myself. But a lot of dreams and a lot of goals I set back then became the reality. Like I remember when we spoke, my wife was pregnant with our second kid. Now he's already walking around and saying "Papa." All the time. And we bought this property, obviously, which was a big effort, because I'm many things, but I'm not rich, so it was not easy to pull off. And yeah, the retreat has grown. We went from doing 1 week a month to now doing 2.5 weeks a month, so 3 retreats every month. And on average, I believe we reached more than 1,000 people that came through our doors. And most importantly, we're still one of the most affordable retreats out there, which is not an easy thing to pull off. So I'm kind of proud of that. And built some cabins and some cool stuff, and a gym and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm very excited where the project is heading. And I must say thank you as well to you and your podcast, because quite a few people ended up coming after listening to our episodes, and what they said is, I guess they liked my down-to-earth explanation of ayahuasca, because I think they identify with my desire to lower the limit, the barrier of entry. So you don't need to be dressed a certain way or speak in a certain way to drink ayahuasca. Ayahuasca is for everyone, except for maybe couple very rare situations. And ayahuasca is it's for healing, and for anyone who wants to dig deeper. And it's not only for spiritual people, right? So I guess that's I refined that message of mine in that episode as well. And I think it's we've been going in the same direction pretty much, and yeah, very, very happy with results.
That's amazing. More than 1,000 people have done the ceremonies through your retreat. Mm-hmm. And now you're up to 2.5 weeks a month. So how many people normally come on one of your retreats? What's the average number?
The average is 20 people in a group. And it's actually, we experimented a lot. I think we did everything from 10 people to 25. Mm-hmm. And I believe 20 to 25 is that golden. The group is not too big, but also at the same time in the word circles, we noticed this phenomena where a person comes, and then in the group, there are 2-3 people with the very similar situations, and they kind of learn from each other. And when the group is too small, you're lacking that mirroring effect in the group, because it's funny how sometimes it's easy for us to see our own problem in somebody else instead of ourselves. And it's easy to see solutions for others. And it largely happens in those word circles that we do. I mean, we improved so much since last time we spoke. It seems like a different retreat. And it's kind of funny because we do have a different name now as well.
No, your name now is La Guaira. La Guaira. What does that mean?
For those who are going to be watching the video, I don't know if you can see this symbol here. La Guaira is the tool that a shaman uses for cleansing. So if Let's say you're in the ceremony and you go through a rough patch, shaman comes and he performs a cleanse on you, and they use Lawaira to move the energies. Lawaira is a Quechua word, and you know, the indigenous people in Putumayo, they have Inga is a tribe we work with. They have, their language is also in the Quechua language group, so it also means air. So air and wind, so it's one of the four elements, so it's a big word. And also, like, our previous name was in Colombia, and our website is still Ayahuasca in Colombia, because it's great for SEO, right? But it's kind of very confusing in a way, because if somebody asks, where did you do ayahuasca? They'll say, I did ayahuasca in Colombia, and it's kind of very, very broad. So we found this different name, and apparently our logo is pretty. We recently made a gate with the logo, and the guy that made a gate for us said two, three other people asked him to make the gate for them with the same flower or whatever it is. I'm like, be careful. That's our logo. Don't steal it.
You don't need someone to steal. So La Guaira, very nice. Nice t-shirt. I like it. The logo is very nice, well designed and everything else. So quickly, let's get your, you've done 12 episodes of the ayahuascapodcast.com. Ayahuasca obviously is an attractive subject for many people around the world. I imagine that the podcast very well.
So it's really hard to say, because we only launched it maybe a few weeks ago. I was kind of collecting different episodes and interviewing different clients that would come through and get great results. I would just talk to them about their stories, and eventually I realized that, you know, I would put them on our Facebook group and create content. And I was like, you know what? There's like a podcast here. There's a lot of information now, and if I do it regularly, you know, I can make it another. For myself, I already have like five, right? You probably know how it feels.
Yes.
But basically, what I do is when we have somebody come to the gates, and then let's say they come back later and they say, tell this great story of transformation or how the life changed. You know, I am myself that story, but you know, people want to hear other opinions, but they say, you know, the last episode I recorded is we had a patient, and he came back 7 months ago. Since then, completely quit smoking weed, and he was smoking weed for 20 years. And obviously, I sat him down and said, Bob, if you want to talk about it. And we spoke about his addiction, how ayahuasca helped him, what's the nature of addiction. And it's kind of those, you know, short episodes that describe specific situations and where ayahuasca can come in handy. I have one on alcoholism. There's one on, like, parallels in between Amazonian spirituality and, like, Eastern spirituality. From a lady that came from India and is very knowledgeable about it. So whenever I find somebody that comes through our doors who is like especially interesting to talk to and especially interesting to listen to, I always get this idea, like, I wish I would record that conversation. I'm sure you're familiar with that feeling. Yeah. So I just started recording it, and I don't know where it's going to go, but one of my missions in life, as you probably remember from the last podcast, is give ayahuasca to as many people as possible so they experience the same transformation I personally experienced. And part of that is also education. And I believe the podcast is one of the best ways to educate people on how to do it properly, you know, how to avoid the pitfalls of going to a wrong retreat or drinking with a shaman who's not a shaman, or, you know, becoming that one of those bad news stories about ayahuasca, and instead being one of those great stories. So,
yeah, I mean, it tends to be that we hear and remember the bad news. So obviously, you're fulfilling an important role. Tell us about, I guess it was Bob, who obviously had his addiction to weed. Tell us about how ayahuasca helped him. I'm curious as to his process, or the person who was an alcoholic.
So with addiction, I always like to use Gabor Mate words. And Gabor Mate is a very famous writer and also an ayahuasca enthusiast. He always says, don't look for the substance, look for the pain. And the reason is that we as humans can get addicted to literally anything. Work, porn, you know, sex, alcohol, drugs. Anything that exists there, we can get addicted to, as long as it allows us to run away from pain. So In the case of Bob, right, he had some traumatic childhood experiences that he shared on the podcast, and he also had a traumatic marriage that broke up, and basically that him running away from that pain, his go-to automedication method was weed, because it numbed his pain. And when he attended the retreat, he addressed some of that pain. And the thing is that with addiction, you can resist the addiction. Let's say there's a beer in the fridge and you think about it every second of the hour, but you choose not to drink it. And the other thing is, when you feel so good, you don't even remember about that beer in your fridge. And that's a difference where when the healing of addiction comes from addressing the root trauma, you unwrap that tension that then you don't need the substance anymore. And it's interesting because even if you are addicted to something, you can experience that substance and not become addicted again. It's just you take away that main drive. And so, yeah, don't look for a substance or behavior. Always look for the pain.
I find that it is something like you are restoring a certain degree of self-esteem to someone like that.
Well, perhaps in some cases it has to do with self-esteem. If, let's say, trauma is related to self-esteem, if, let's say, your mother told you that you're ugly, and then you have social anxiety, and then, you know, to be comfortable in public, you need to smoke weed or drink or whatever other substance you do. It's also a possibility. But sometimes it's not about self-esteem. It's largely about, you know, you being by yourself and doing nothing. How comfortable are you? How good do you feel? If you always feel the need to distract yourself with something, be it work or a substance or something, then maybe there is something going on underneath that you're trying to hide from yourself. And just so happen to be you drink ayahuasca, it's all in your face. You have no choice but to address it. And you can, it's not an immediate process. It's not like you drink ayahuasca once and all your problems go away. But it does begin that process of healing. And that's why, you know, Bob, I interviewed him at the retreat. He came back and asked him, like, why are you back after 7 months? And he said that he liked how he felt and he liked the new clarity and he just wants to go deeper, because generally we are built on a foundation of trauma. We are conditioned by many positive and negative experiences, but the negative experiences are the ones that really shape us sometimes. And, you know, they're shaped to be a certain way to protect us, and sometimes those egos no longer serve us because they're overprotective and overreactive, and it doesn't allow us to build relationships. And this is the time you want to look into that and maybe reshape it a little bit with ayahuasca. Many people have told me something like it felt like 10 years of therapy, 20 years of therapy, 15 years of therapy. Number amount of therapy, different people from different parts of the world have told me that. It's because it does that. It really goes in. I like to say it's kind of like a factory reset for your computer, your brain.
Okay. And when you talk about this clarity, I guess the ayahuasca and the ceremony and the visions that you have all the everyday noise that don't allow you to see or to find that pain. Is that what you would say?
So it's really hard to explain exactly how ayahuasca works and how it feels in the process, because it's not always even vision. Sometimes it's just a message in the form of realization or a memory coming through. So let's talk about trauma specifically, what you might experience. Ceremony is so the problem with addictions and let's say mental health issues, when you are depressed or when you're anxious, you don't always know exactly why, because if everyone knew, then they would probably do something about it. You might not even notice that you're living your life, and maybe you experience it as bad mood. And what ayahuasca helps you do is connect with yourself and your own subconscious, and just introspect enough to understand what's the root, where is it coming from, what happened. Mm. For example, in my case, a lot of my issues, they come from the childhood. When I was 3.5 years old, my parents had this great idea to send me to my grandma to another country for 1.5 years. And, you know, for a little kid, losing your entire world and going to another place, to another people that you never met before, doesn't feel like an adventure. It feels like you've been betrayed, you've been given up, and you might not even recall that it was a traumatic memory. But ayahuasca helps you do that. Like in one of my deep trips, obviously when my native language is Russian, so in Latvia we speak both Russian and Latvian, my wife recalled me and she recorded me saying, I was calming myself down, and I was saying, "Don't cry, baby, don't cry," in Russian. It's like, it comes from there. It comes from very deep. And how else do you, I mean, there are ways to get there, but personally, ayahuasca is the way. But there are many different plant medicines and you know, spiritual practices that allow a person to go that deep and address that. But yeah, ayahuasca is definitely the one that I found for myself, and it worked amazingly well. And you know, every month we have 60 people, so 3 different groups come through our doors and leave very happy. And yeah, it's just been a wild ride, but very, very exciting one.
I have to ask, because you've unearthed some obviously points of real interest, and if you don't want to talk further about your childhood trauma, but I mean, do you as an adult remember being sent away aged 3.5?
So I do remember some parts of it, right? And it's the reason I never thought it was a problem, and it took me a while to understand that maybe some of my, you know, I would notice that my reaction to certain things would be overly exaggerated. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that I react especially strongly to betrayal. And then I started thinking, you know, I never had a girlfriend cheat on me, or I never had a real betrayal in my life. So it took me a while to understand where I was coming from. Because I later learned that emotion that I felt in that moment as a child was that of a betrayal. So it's like extra strong for me. But do I recall the exact moment and the pain? No, because basically what makes trauma a trauma is that because it's so painful, your brain just wraps it in layers of other stuff and hides it away in your subconscious, and then it just sits there and kind of slowly leaks out and poisons your life in form of depression, anxiety, in those you know, milder mental health issues. And it's when you work with things like ayahuasca, you can address those and kind of clean them up a little bit. And a lot of time, you know, we talk about purging in the ceremony, and people really hate that aspect. I remember we talked about it last time. When you purge, sometimes you are able to release that trauma. And the difference between a trauma and a memory is that when you then go back to that, think about it, it no longer feels, you no longer feel the emotion, you just remember a memory. But you show me a person and I'll probably be able to find some kind of trauma. We are, life is impossible to live without being traumatized. So it's not that like to say at the retreat, we're not here to compare the trauma. We just all want to feel good. And ayahuasca is also not only treat trauma and heal something, because sometimes it can be used as a tool. You know, let's say this is good level and traumatized, sad, and depressed is here, but like very successful and happy is here. So you can use it to bring you here, but you can also use it to take you here, and it's a multi-tool.
Of course, I mean, you've been involved in this now for a couple of years or several years. Is there any way that a taita or a shaman, the first Latvian Colombian shaman?
Well, there's a patient of ours or a client, whatever you would like to call it, he's also Latvian, and I think he drinks more ayahuasca than me, so if I would ever set that goal, he'd probably beat me. So Martin, if you're listening, we're the only 2 Latvians in Colombia, so you'll probably will know who I'm talking about. But so it's not my goal to become a shaman. I think it's a very difficult job to do. And the job I'm doing, it really is really helping my shaman, because he doesn't have to worry about marketing and integration and word circles and the other small details. You know, as I say, running an ayahuasca retreat is like running a hotel, a restaurant, and a psych ward together. So, but if I would want to become a shaman, hypothetically, if I drink ayahuasca for 10 years or more and I really focus on that, I could be ready enough to give medicine. And then my shaman could say, you know, you're ready here. I allow you to drink to give medicine to other people. But yeah, I don't think I want that. I have seen a vision from ayahuasca, and I think I shared in the podcast. But it involved me drinking medicine just with one person. So not a group of people, but just one-on-one with a person. And then the medicine would show me how to help them heal. It was something like that. But a shaman, yeah, a lot of people want that title of a shaman, but they don't want the responsibility that comes with it. It's a shaman, I like to say, shaman is like a neurosurgeon for your soul. The things they see and understand is beyond. Like, you know, since we last spoke, a year and a half have passed. I've seen so many stories of shamans seeing future and past and being so precise. Like, it's, I mean, I'm a firm believer now. No matter how skeptical I am, it's just, they've proven themselves to me that they do really have amazing talent of seeing and understanding things we don't see and understand.
Mm. But, you know, and a 10-year commitment as well, of course, to drinking ayahuasca and then having your taita say, it's ready now. It's a long time. And between here and there, anything can happen. I mean, that's the truth of it. You don't know where you're going. So, I mean, let's go through your clientele. Who come for ceremonies, are they all foreigners, or are you getting Colombians as well?
I say we get maybe 5% of Colombians, 5 to 10%. We do have some, but it's just that for Colombians, they have more accessible, like week, like 1 day ceremonies here and there. And what we do is mostly for somebody who comes from a foreign country and they want to go and do a deep dive. One week and do 4 ceremonies. And it also doesn't help that because our majority of our clientele is foreigners, the retreat is in English. So the only Colombians that we can receive are those that speak English. And because otherwise it would be really hard to make it happen. But I do see us maybe somewhere in the future when we can finding a way to also have like Spanish speaking retreats. But it's as of now, it's a really task, because let's say some of the facilitators on my team don't speak Spanish, and you know, it's tricky. But we do have some Colombians, and they really enjoy the experience as well.
And where do the majority of your clients come from?
I would say 50% North America, 30% Europe, 20% all over the place. Everything from Japan, Africa, Australia, New Zealand, a lot. We have probably like every country in the world, you know, it's not every, like there's a lot of small countries that we didn't have, but there's really a wide variety of people. And I think ayahuasca has really been growing in popularity, and people are seeking it, especially we have a lot of desperate people coming. I remember in last podcast, we spoke about people buying a ticket to our retreat. It's been happening so many times now, and so far I'm really happy to report that they end up buying a return ticket afterwards and feel better than ever. So, but it's a big responsibility, like when somebody comes and says, you know, I bought a one-way ticket, if this doesn't work, I'm gonna give up on life. And you know, luckily so, ayahuasca can not maybe completely fix them, but at least put them on the path healing.
What, when you say they come really desperate, I mean, you suggested there that they're going to give up on life, but what kind of desperation are we talking about?
Well, everyone has a different story, but generally it's some form of suicidal ideation, and it's also, it has to do with also with running away from pain. Like somebody's existence is just so miserable emotionally, like they're just never happy and always in pain, where they just ask themselves, you know, why am I even alive? And then when they drink ayahuasca, the medicine shows them how beautiful the life is and how you can live better, and takes away the pain for a little bit to allow them to see clearly, and maybe even to address that the cause, you know, where is the pain coming from? And yeah, it's hard to outline specific motive because there's different stories, but it generally always has something to do with, you know, unhappy childhood, lack of love, some kind of trauma, and then also a lack of direction in life and just unhappy existence. Or especially for people that are, they're in such a bad shape emotionally that they're hurting people around them, sometimes that also makes them start thinking, maybe if I undo myself, the people around me will feel better. It's kind of thinking. There's, yeah, it's pretty sad to talk about it, but it's also great that we do have that tool because it does provide the relief that they seek.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are so many positive stories that come out of the negative stories. Let's say the people coming with all this trauma, the people coming with addiction. So on, as you say, the great quote, don't look for the substance, look for the pain. Are there people who turn up and you say what you're looking for is unachievable? What you're looking for, we need to take down a bit your expectations of what we can do here?
So let's say there are some mental conditions where ayahuasca is not going to help. It actually can make it worse. For example, schizophrenia or psychosis, bipolar. So in that case, yeah, unfortunately, I have to say, you know, worry about that. Psychedelics might not be the route you should pursue, and you know, look into microdosing and other modalities. Also, if somebody comes with, you know, AIDS or terminal cancer, it's a bit too late. You know, as I like to, my thinking on physical health is that our bodies are perfect and we can heal ourselves no matter what disease gets to us, but we can only do that when we are aligned and properly functioning. But if you're in disbalance for a long time, the disease can come through you, and if it's really called, there are, you know, moments where ayahuasca will not be able to help you. But at the same time, there's a lot of mysterious autoimmune diseases which you can trace the beginning of them to a trauma or an emotion, like a so-called somatic diseases, and we have a lot of people get released from them, and those people I then try to sit them down and interview them to talk about it and see if that can give hope to others. But yeah, if somebody is dying and they come to ayahuasca, is not gonna make them come back to life. It's probably gonna kill them faster because it is a pretty tough process. So if you're on the verge of dying, then I'd say abstain from it and enjoy your family for your last days and stuff like that. We don't get much of that, but we did get people with cancer in remission. That's, I would say, it's a good time to come to when it is in remission, just so it doesn't come back, and you align your body, or a shaman helps you, you know, make your natural protections go up. But even for people that are really, really desperate and have like diseases that don't seem to have solution, I do believe there are other medicines or, you know, ancestral medicines that can be of help.
You have mentioned on a couple of occasions sort of the possibility of other plant medicines, natural medicines. What we're talking about, microdosing with, I think, is it mushroom microdosing? I mean, I don't know a lot about this.
Well, you can also microdose ayahuasca, right? But it's really hard to get ayahuasca because, you know, responsible shamans, they will never give you ayahuasca because you can say it's only for microdosing and then you go ahead and drink it, drink a large amount. So it's really hard to know. But yeah, mushrooms is that medicine that is easily attainable and is legal in a lot of places. This could be a good tool for somebody to start working on their mental health without, you know, pushing it too hard. And other plant medicines that, for example, the plant, it's not really plant medicine, it's like animal medicine, cambo, which is a frog poison. I think it's really great. I believe, like, for example, if I would ever get cancer, I'd probably just go and do a lot of cambo because it just boosts up your immune system. I personally got a lot of relief from like sinus problems and allergies using cambo. We don't offer cambo because I believe cambo is very difficult and you have to be in a really good shape. Some issues, for example, you need to definitely test your body, make sure you don't have ulcers and stuff like this, because it thins the blood and you can get hemorrhage. So, but if you're okay and you do it, then it's an amazing medicine. So you just have to be very careful when it comes to plant medicines, because you know they're not designed for the modern people, and we're all somewhat sick. They've been designed for more robust people that live off the land, so they're much more resilient.
This is cambo, how you say. The toad?
No, it's a frog. The frog. Toad one is the bufo.
The bufo. Which is the one where you get the crazy kids licking the back of the toad? Is the bufo?
I'm not aware of the kids licking toads.
Yeah, I think I saw it somewhere, but never mind. Good. I'm glad you're not aware of that. Let's not be aware of that. Neither of the cambo nor the bufo is licking the back of a toad for hallucinogenic.
No, the bufo is smoking the toad, smoking the venom of the toad, and the cambo is applying. Let me show you. So, I don't know if you can see the dots.
Yeah.
They burn a dot on your skin and then apply the frog venom, and you feel shit for about 20 minutes, but then it's good for you. And as you can see, I was trying to make a little wire of the dots. It's like the wire that I have here.
So they burn your skin and then put the venom on it?
The frog venom, yes. And obviously your immune system reacts. So the way I've been explained to is you get every cell in your body feels attacked. So it starts releasing those compounds that make you feel better. So this is how it works, I believe.
Well, for those of you, just quickly, for those of you who are not looking at this on YouTube, Sam showed his upper shoulder, and there's a whole number of circular burns up there, which where they put the venom on. And of course, as he said, he tried to do it in a wire shape. So it looks like a light tattoo at the moment. This is what it looks like. It's like a burn tattoo. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, well, that you see in my shoulder, that's like years worth of many different cambo ceremonies, so it's not like you do it all at once. You'll probably kill me that amount. The reason I've been doing it, because there's nothing pleasant about that process. Unlike with ayahuasca, you might experience pleasant and euphoric moments. With cambo, it's always just pain and purging. It's terrible, but it absolutely helped me with my allergy and sinus issues. So once again, we don't offer it because I think if you do it on 1,000 people, I believe it would kill one at least.
Serious stuff. And so you go down to the Amazon, to the jungle, to do this?
No, I have another facilitator friend that works with, and I go to visit him and
okay.
and get some kambo.
So you're not branching out. You're not offering this. You are offering just ayahuasca, known as well as, of course, as yahe. You have your taita, your shaman from the Putumayo who comes up. You've now treated more than 1,000 people. It's amazing. And tell me about, I mean, what's next? Because you've got to such, you said you're going to increase the amount of ceremony. It just sounds like you're already, you know, you've reached an amazing point already.
Yeah, we've really done well. On the last point regarding kambo and all the stuff, just a disclaimer, right? This is not a medical advice. Right? So yeah. don't go doing kambo and then blaming us for referring it. Okay. Same goes with ayahuasca. I am 100% responsible for people that come to our retreat, but do your due diligence when choosing a retreat, because unfortunately there are some bad stories, and do your homework. Look for the reviews, especially in places which the facilitators can control, like Google or other places. So yeah, on the topic of the business and the plans, yeah, I openly talk about ayahuasca retreat being a business, because there are some people that prefer to not talk about it this way, and I think it's just untrue, and they don't give you price. They say the amount of the donation, and I think it's just sort of hiding behind linguistics. Ayahuasca retreat absolutely is a business, and a very difficult one, and you need to try and charge reasonable prices while still making some money so you can make improvements. So our plan is within next year. Let's make a plan for a year and a half, and maybe okay. we meet up again a year and a half from now. Hopefully by the time you'll come to the retreat and we record live after after your ayahuasca ceremony. Yeah. Well, our plan is to build a medicine house. Finally, it's coming soon, like a standalone, not just like a part of the house like it is now, but a standalone house for medicine only. We've already built four cabins, beautiful cabins for people, because some people don't like shared rooms that we've been able to provide before. More. We've already built gym, so if you want to stay fit while at the retreat, you can do that. We already have ice bath. What I need now is a sauna. We'll probably have it a year and a half from now. We'll check. We're planning to build a separate space for people to rest, have a space for people to work. Have a little coffee shop style area where you can buy a juice or a coffee or a decaf coffee if you're during the retreat. So the plan is to stop just being an ayahuasca retreat, but also become a place where people come to stay long term while being healthy in the nature, working out, working with good internet, being able to eat healthy and have a supportive community around. Because what I did notice after many, many retreats that we hosted is that the team, the group of people, when they have a ceremony together or share a couple ceremonies together, they really, really bond. They become like family. They don't want to separate, and a lot of them want to stay behind. Mm. And as of now, we're not able to provide that because we don't have space. So the plan is to build that space and have people come for ayahuasca and stay for the community and never want to leave.
Sounds like a lifestyle retreat, and it sounds like a destination rather than, you know, solely mm-hmm. ayahuasca retreat. So it's just amazing. Yes, in 2025 we'll talk again. So let's just do you some promotion here. ayahuascapodcast.com. I suppose it's found on all platforms. Very easy to find.
Spotify, I believe, and Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, so it has to be that. Unfortunately, yeah, it has to be that. And then the website ayahuascaincolombia.com is the website, but of course La Guaira. Do your research, mm-hmm. check out the reviews, see what other people have said about it. Sam has no fear because they're all positive. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of positive reviews. And well, I think it's amazing, and it's so nice to hear a story of someone has I think, followed a dream and is making a real success on it. So well done, Sam, and thank you for sharing this information with us.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you for having me again. And yeah, what I've been pursuing, and same as you and a lot of your the guests you interview, is that Colombian dream, you know. I think I want to talk just last parting words is I'm really grateful to this country because of the access to those amazing ancestral medicines, because of the beautiful weather, and I'm such an optimist on Colombia. I believe if nobody screws it up, I believe it's going to be a first world country one day. And in our business as well, we've been able to, like, as of now, we have 23 people working for us, building and facilitating cooking. Our shaman, he's also been able to do really well for himself, and obviously he supports his own indigenous community. Mm-hmm. And I think your listeners to this podcast, I just want to encourage everyone to come to Colombia, start a family, start a business, create some employment, and maybe sooner or later we'll get Colombia to the point where it deserves to be.
Well, I certainly hope so. Some very, very very appreciated words there, Sam. So much for ending on such a nice, it's been a positive podcast all together. Of course, thank you for ending on such a high note. I know that my listeners will appreciate this immensely. So let me just say again, ayahuascapodcast.com for those interested in the podcast, and ayahuascaincolombia.com for the La Huayra website. We'll of course put those up on our social media pages and so on. So let me say, Sam, in rural Antioquia, thank you for your time. All the best for the future. As always, it's a real pleasure. Let's talk again in 2025.
Thank you, Richard.
You're most welcome. This has been episode 491 of the Colombia Calling podcast. My name is Richard McCall. We've been talking to Sam in Antioquia of La Huayra, and we'll be back next week with further information and stories about Colombia. So, bye-bye.
The Colombia Calling is sponsored by Latin News, a leading source of political and economic analysis on Latin America and the Caribbean since 1967. Their flagship publication, the Latin American Weekly Report, provides a behind-the-scenes briefing on all the week's key developments throughout the region. Sign up for a 14-day free trial at latinnews.com. We are also sponsored by BNB Colombia, which is a leading tour operator providing a wonderful range of exclusive small group shared tours for those over 50, along with customizable private tours to both popular and off-the-map destinations throughout this beautiful and diverse country. If you're interested in experiencing one of their unforgettable journeys through Colombia, be it a shared tour with like-minded travelers or creating a unique private package of your own, just complete the form on the Colombia Calling www.columbiacalling.co or the BNB Colombia Tours website. That's www.bnbcolombia.com. And they'll be in touch within 24 hours to answer all of your questions and to start the planning of your exclusive Colombian adventure. That's bnbcolombia.com and latinnews.com. Thank you for supporting our sponsors. The Colombia Calling podcast is sponsored by Latin News, a leading source of political and economic analysis on Latin America and the Caribbean since 1967. Their flagship publication, the Latin American Weekly Report, provides a behind-the-scenes briefing on all the week's key developments throughout the region. Sign up for a 14-day free trial at latinnews.com. We are also sponsored by BNB Colombia Tours, which is a leading tour operator providing a wonderful range of exclusive small group shared tours for those over 50, along with customizable private tours to both popular and off-the-map destinations throughout this beautiful and diverse country. If you're interested in experiencing one of their unforgettable journeys through Colombia, be it a shared tour with like-minded travelers or creating a unique private package of your own, just complete the form on the Colombia Calling website, that's www.colombiacalling.co, or the BNB Colombia Tours website, that's www.bnbcolombia.com, and they'll be in touch within 24 hours to answer all of your questions and to start the planning of your exclusive Colombian adventure. So that's bnbcolombia.com and latinnews.com. Thank you for supporting our sponsors.